Yeah, thank you so much, Augustine, for those comments. I'll probably cut down our conversation so that we can save some time to have some feedback and at least answer some questions from those who are listening to us. But I do want to ask one last question around the biennial review and particularly mutual accountability. And I think it's also one of the topics that many of those who are listening are sending in messages about and asking questions. But I want to start by just asking each of you to help us unpack this idea of mutual accountability. In general, it seems like we are trying to achieve collective impact, and so we are using some kind of shared metric system, and we are being accountable to each other. But many people do not understand exactly what we mean when we say mutual accountability in CADAP. And I want to start with you, Fatmata. Like, in just a minute, this is actually commitment number 7. The heads of state sat down. They made commitments covering very specific content areas, I could call them, like resilience or hunger and so on. But their 7th commitment sounded a little different, like strengthen our accountability to each other, mutual accountability as to actions and results through a results framework. And a lot of people are looking at Africa and saying that's interesting. So Fatmata, what does mutual accountability mean to you? Can you help us unpack this idea from your standpoint at ECOWAS? And if you could do so like in a minute or so.
So, not to reinvent the wheel, the ECOWAS, whatever REC is picking off from CADEP, so at the CADEP level.
And Martha, I'm sorry to interrupt. You do still sound a little bit quiet. Is it possible to increase your microphone volume or simply...
Can you hear me?
Mike?
Can you hear me? Okay, so...
Yes, please proceed. Yeah.
Accountability is the same at the continental level. It's about you and I agreeing that I will do this, you will do that, and time after time we sit back to reflect to see what we agreed to do, we have done. So I took a decision, I will provide this, you agree to provide that, and we agree within a timeline and quickly check to see what progress we have made towards our commitment. That's the simplest definition I can give you. Thank you.
Thanks, Fatmata. Augustine, do you have a different take on this? What does it mean from where you sit? Or do you have any additional points on mutual accountability within the context of CADA? If you could say something in a minute.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
My take on the matter is very simple. Going back to what CADEP stood for, CADEP wanted to bring a new way of doing business in agriculture. This was back in 2003. This was in the context of the New Partnership for Africa's Development. And there was an agreement that the time had come for Africa to take lead. But Africa was also of the view that we still needed to continue to work with the development partners in a mutually respectable manner where people are held accountable to what the committee do and the results that they achieve. Translated in the agricultural sector, that was what it was supposed to be. But for the first, most probably, 3 years of CADEP, we were going through the issue of accountability in the context of the Paris Declaration. But after some point, that concept kind of started to be diluted. Now, with the BR, the notion of holding partners mutually accountable has come back to the fore. But how much mutual is this accountability? This is a question that we may at some point would like to address. For the time being, we see African countries agreeing to report to track progress and report on what they commit to do, their performance. It is now with the new BR, the new cycle, that we're looking at how to establish a easily measurable indicator for the other partner, for the loan partner. How much are they putting in? What do they commit to do? And how much are they working the talk? So this is, in my understanding, notion of mutual accountability in the context of CADEP.
Thanks, Augustine, for that. And I'll finish this, just the understanding mutual accountability with you, Ernest, again in a minute. What do you have a different angle to it, mutual accountability?
Thank you, Robert. I think the mutual accountability that is mentioned here as actually stipulated in the call of action from mutual accountability to action and results.
Okay. Thank you.
Hello? Can you hear me?
We can hear you, but there's also...
Not on my side.
All right. But we did get at least your first point about it being accountable for action and results. So it's not just accountability for results, but also for actions that lead to those results. And I think we are running short of time, but I'm hoping that we could somehow go over for a few minutes, just because we started a bit late, and then that will allow us to address some of the questions that have come in. And I want to keep to this topic and ask about data quality. So the whole topic of mutual accountability within CADAP is also driven by the biennial review, and we have questions coming in from some of our listeners asking about the quality of the data. Some of them suggest that the experience has been that in some cases there is poor quality data or lack of data, and this has affected the reliability and the confidence with which we look at these results in the BR. And I just want to come back to you, Ernest, and find out whether you have a response to this challenge of quality of data.
Yes, thank you, Robert. We knew from the beginning that the data quality is very, very a big problem. We knew from the beginning because of the self-reporting. But the purpose, one of the purpose of this biennial review, is also to strengthen country systems. So while we are reporting, we also need to make sure that countries have strong data systems that can inform different indicators that are captured in this biennial review. The question will now be, how do we accompany countries to strengthen their data system so that when they report confidently with quality data, number one. Number two, how do we make sure that countries, when they report validated report by all country stakeholders, so that at least we are sure that countries have made their efforts to mobilize existing data at country level or from different sources. So number three, we wanted also to increase ownership of the report, because I remember from the first report, during the presentation of the first report in the summit, heads of state themselves were asking, where did you come with this data? And the only response that was bringing some peace during the presentation is that the data came from the country. This is the process that we use to collect data from the country, from ministry collected at rate level and come to African Union. I think one of the call of the report was to strengthen country data system and we are, as a CADAP fraternity, to make sure that, you know, we also respond to this call, technical partners, development partners, African Union, and countries themselves, together with RECS. Support country system, support countries to come up with their own data. Thank you.
Thank you, Ernest, for that. And I think the broader data issues are things that we within CADAP. Augustine, earlier on, we were having a conversation about compliance with NAIP and the process and so on, and I liked a lot of your answers. Some of our listeners have also commented on that. And one question that's come up that I think would be useful to clarify is whether there's any evidence, maybe from a study or even anecdotal, to show that when you are Malabo compliant, when you follow some of those CADA processes to the letter, does it reflect in your performance? Is there a way to show that by having a compliant NAIP or signing the compact and doing all these other things, it then directly leads to better performance? Could you care to comment on that?
Yes, thank you very much for the question. I think it's a very good one. It keeps coming. For the past 4 years, I think we've been receiving this. I just wanted to suggest that RUSAC, IFPRI, released a study last year, I believe, showing kind of the journey from Maputo to Malabo and to where we are today, and showing how many countries are really seen as those who have fully embraced CADAP, and comparing their performance to the performance of those which have not embraced CADAP or not so fully. And it was a correlation between the current performance today and the tardiness for a country to embrace CADAP, or the kind of not so rigorous way of embracing the values and principles, including the fact that CADAP has to be inclusive, the process has to be inclusive. What goes into the night has to be a reflection of a national consensus. Countries where we've seen good results or better results are countries that are, one, early adopters of values and principles of CADAP. They may not have called what they were doing CADAP, but they were doing exactly what CADAP was recommending. Two, countries with a very strong visionary leadership, showing the direction, trying to stick to what they commit to do. A country with a NAIP that is fully aligned to the National Development Plan. The NAIP is not seated in a ministry as just another project in an office with the next office running a project parallel to that one, at times competing. Countries with a very strong in-country coordination mechanism among the development partners and the government. The in-country coordination mechanism open to other stakeholders, including the non-state actors. Country believing in the powerful role of the private sector, having a key role to play as a driver for transformation. Countries believing that unless you begin to put your own resources, to prioritize putting your own resources into making transformation happen, you will be waiting for the own partners to come and do it for you. They will set the agenda for you, they will set the direction, and not happen the way you wanted it to. There is clear evidence, very well documented. IFPRI has published on the matter. As we are talking, I'm trying to retrieve the information so I can share the link with whoever is interested. Thank you.
Thank you, Augustine. I have several people asking questions around the 10% commitment that started in Maputo in 2003 and whether we have achieved anything with that as African countries, where heads of state sat down and said, we are going to put 10% of our annual national budget expenditure to agriculture and rural development. This was in Maputo in 2003, and it was in Malabo in 2014. How well are we doing on this one? And Fatmata, I just want to get your sense from ECOWAS, just as a snapshot of Africa. What's the challenge here? Are we still having arguments about what's in 10%, or are the countries that you're dealing with now fully compliant and spending 10% of their budgets on agriculture and everything is hunky-dory? What's the status?
Okay, thank you very much, Robert. From the ECOWAS point, I think one of the challenges we have had is the change of government. So every 5 years or so, we have new addition. And if you don't hurry up to go and re-sensitize that government on the cadet process, it means you are starting all over again. But recently, as recent as April, in line with research, IFPRI research, we did a quick analysis to know where we really are as ECOWAS on the 10%. And from the analysis that was done, we have Mali and Burkina Faso that have actually exceeded the 10%. Senegal and Niger are close. They are around 9 to 9.5%. Sierra Leone is around 6.5%. And we have a few countries that are below 4%, Cote d'Ivoire, Gambia, and Nigeria, but there are also others that are below 2%. So if you take a regional picture, ECOWAS with Nigeria, we are only at 4%. ECOWAS without Nigeria, we are about 5%. So we are trying to the extent possible. We have been able to sensitize the country, so we do re-sensitization when governments change, but there are a few countries that have owned and agreed and are committed to the 10%. And there are a few that we are still battling with them to really understand why it's important, because it was a commitment in 2003. So as ECOWAS, a lot of effort is being made. And I think just May, first week of May, we came from few countries where we had to again resell this entire process. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Fatmata. So I hear 4%, 5%, depending on whether you have Nigeria in or not. And I know that back here in East Africa, in Kenya, it's probably something to do with 2 to 3%. And that's not any different from some of our neighbors as well. So I'm wondering, because this is at the core of CADAP's success, how this sits with you, Ernest. Your audio was a little bit grainy earlier on. Would you therefore, and now I'm looking at the clock, I think we're going to stop in less than, in about 8 minutes, so I'm going to probably ask my final questions, just to leave time to close up. Would you say, Ernest, that given the totality of the information we have, that CADAP is headed in the right direction? Have I lost Ernest?
You said me. Yes, thank you, Robert. I think we need to also be very positive, because we have more than 44 countries which have signed the compact, 47 countries which reported on the progress of CADAP. We have 20 countries which are on the track to achieving Malabo target by 2025, and we have countries making greater efforts to invest in agriculture. Yes, not 10%, but if you compare fiscal year to fiscal year, you will see that the budget to agriculture is actually increasing. And I think there is something to celebrate here, But we need to be aware that we also have a lot of efforts to make. We are talking about 10%, but we are not able to really break into mobilizing private sector investment in Africa. And this is really central. And I think if you check all the 7 commitments, there are key areas where needs to be efforts need to be put, especially commitments on ending hunger. You see that we are still lagging behind on resilience. So there are much as we are achieving, but also I think we really need to put emphasis on key areas that will make agricultural transformation to happen. But I believe that the infrastructure is in place. The mechanisms are already are known. It's a matter of actually, again, working together to make sure that we implement this Marabo Declaration. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ernest. So basically, there is a lot of progress, but there is also a lot of challenges and a lot of work ahead. I'll pose the same question to you, Fatmata. In your opinion, is CADAP headed in the right direction?
Yes, Robert. I can see on the screen 3 questions, and I agree, yes, but it could be improved. Like you said,
Ernest, please mute your microphone. Fatmata, I'll ask you to repeat your intervention.
Yes, I am saying that yes, CADAP is headed in the right direction, but it could be improved at all 3 levels. That's the continental, regional, and country levels. Between the first phase of the CADAP and the second phase, I think a lot of progress have been made because people have owned the process to a very large extent. So I think we are there. And we have tried to establish a lot of systems and mechanisms, because you could see that between 2014 and now, especially during the first biennial review process, we have also been able to establish or re-establish, because they existed before, but they were not very formal. We have our technical networks. Before, we know that research exists at all the regional economic blocks, but during the first DR process, we can see that we now have it really very formal at the continental level. We are using those same experts for DR processes, for the NITE processes, plus for specific economic modeling or simulations, even at the regional level. So we are beginning to have our systems and structures in place. For me, I think as long as those ones exist, gradually we will get there. So yes, CADAP is heading in the right direction.
Thank you very much, Fatmata, speaking from Abuja. Our structures and processes are in place. We just need to intensify our efforts. Augustine, do you agree with your 2 colleagues on this question?
Yes, I agree with what colleagues have suggested. We have to be positive, as Ernest mentioned. A lot of things are happening. What we shouldn't do is to drop the ball simply because we keep repeating. I think we have to repeat. The more we repeat, the more the message gets across. We are aware of countries that are only joining, embracing fully the process now. Yet we have been quoting those countries, literally pushing them to embrace for 10 years. And just last year they say, wow, we didn't know how good CADAP was. Now with the BR, with what countries have gained from embracing the Maputo process, we are in a stronger position today to say that we are convinced that is the way to go. I believe that it's a very good framework, it's a very powerful framework to compel alignment vis-a-vis external players that are coming to support actions on the ground, but also to force the government to make sure that what it's trying to do in agriculture is fully responding to what is contained in the National Development Plan. So it's something that's very powerful. That gives a platform also to rally in a very coordinated manner all the key players, all the key constituencies. In quite a few countries, we didn't have that before. CADES has made it possible, and it is in our interest now to apply the findings or the lessons that have been learned so far to make sure that we continue to better the process. So to me, it's an important tool. It's just a matter of us making sure that we continue to keep it alive. We continue to bring on board the innovations that are emerging, and so on and so forth.
Thank you very much, Augustine. On that very positive note, CADAP is alive and kicking. We just need to intensify efforts. And I want to thank you, Augustine, Wambo Yamju, Fatmata Seiwo, and Ernest Ruzindaza for your responses and for the fascinating conversation we just had. I couldn't get to so many questions that we needed to cover, because time, as always, is limited, and we had some technical challenges at the beginning. But this has been a wonderful experience for me personally, and I want to thank all those who joined the conversation and listening in with the lots and lots of feedback that we've received. This has been quite useful, I believe, for everyone. The conversation continues beyond this in other fora, so I'm sure we'll continue to address this question. I'd like to hand over to my colleague Shannon Sabo, whom you met earlier on, for some closing remarks as well.
Thanks, Rob. Thank you so much to everybody for your active participation, and especially to our panelists from all over Africa. I think we can all agree we only really scratched the surface today. So one of our main objectives of this conversation was to find out what are some of the specific technical topics and other issues that are of interest to our stakeholders. So I think we've got a lot of those already identified. I think what we'll try to do as part of Africa Leads Learning Series over the next few months is address and dive deeper to some of these things. We were just discussing internally as a team right here, maybe what we're talking about is a blog post specifically answering some of the questions that have come through. One of the other colleagues here on the chat bot said, actually, maybe we could do a three-part series. So we might look at other webinars. I think the main thing is that we wanted to kind of get everybody on the same page as a basis for discussion, and it looks like we've done that. So what you've got on your screen right now are a couple of resources that were launched last week at the CADAP PP. I encourage everybody to go to these links. The first one is what we're calling the Biannual Review Toolkit. But really what it is the data that was produced as part of this process and available in an online, interactive, user-friendly format. So you can actually go online, filter by country, filter by other things you're interested in, download PowerPoints. It's a much more user-friendly, accessible way to kind of interact with this data for your own purposes. The second one is what's called a knowledge compendium, and it's about Malabo domestication itself, so that process that Augustine was describing and we were talking about earlier on. So please check out these resources. The next slide should be about some of the upcoming learning series events that we had anticipated. But like I said, these were kind of illustrative upcoming ideas. I think we've already identified a couple other ones. There was some interest from the audience on the CADAP peer-to-peer network. We might be doing something to engage other stakeholders in that. Ask the expert sessions are things that we've held in the past. We might do something on just the biannual review data itself, maybe a walkthrough of the toolkit, help people interact, download, ask specific questions, query certain things. These three we've got up here right now are a little bit self-explanatory, but just quickly, facilitative leadership coming up in August. This is an approach that we've found is really critical to facilitating these multi-stakeholder dialogue processes and interacting across organizations, across institutions. Institutional architecture, assessment, prioritization, and planning. This is a toolkit of facilitation support tools based on the institutional architecture framework that's really about strengthening and improving platforms for policy dialogue and evidence-based decision making. And this last one has to do with actually the topic of resilience. We've been working with some of our partners in the arid and semi-arid regions of Kenya to collaborate together using collective impact and the collective impact framework for increasing collaboration across donor projects and local government priorities. So anyway, that's just a bit of stay tuned for more information on AgriLinks. Again, thanks everybody so much for your participation. This will only be the beginning.
Great, and on behalf of USAID and Feed the Future, I'd like to thank our speakers, our panelists, and most importantly, our attendees for engaging so wonderfully in the chat box and for being part of the AgriLinks webinar series. Thank you all, and be on the lookout for the post-event resources. Have a good afternoon or evening, everyone.
All right. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.